Nearly 200 people are killed in the latest Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip. The overall Palestinian death toll is approaching 23,000. Palestinian resistance fighters kill more invading Israeli soldiers and destroy some of their weapons in retaliation for the onslaught on Gaza. And Yemen stresses it will continue to block the passage of Israeli-owned and bound ships through the Red Sea despite the U.S. threats. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip continue unabated, leaving behind more casualties every day. The latest attacks on central Gaza claimed some 40 lives. 11 of those were killed in the strikes on a home and a school in a Palestinian refugee camp in the city of Deir al-Bala. Another 20 lost their lives in raids on the Jabalia refugee camp in the north. That brings to nearly 200 the number of Palestinians killed in Israeli strikes on the coastal sliver in the past 24 hours. More than 22,800 Palestinians have been killed since Israel began its onslaught on Gaza on October 7th. The Israeli military campaign against civilians in Gaza has drawn worldwide condemnation. Most countries and international bodies are calling for an immediate end to the genocide. Displaced Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip are facing hunger, thirst, diseases, and more Israeli bombings wherever they go.
There are nearly 33 people under the rubble, including women, children, and the elderly. At 12 a.m., suddenly as we were sleeping, a rocket hit us. As you can see, no one has gotten out. They were all killed, children and women. They are under the rubble, and we keep digging to get them out in front of your eyes. Have a look. Here are their shoes. They are children. They are children. Look. Here are their diapers. They are all peaceful children. They are all children, and here are their belongings.
Enough of the war. Enough of the pain. Enough of the hunger. Enough of the hurting. We are tired of everything in this life. There are no more basic needs to keep living this way. As you can see, it is difficult to make dough, to wash clothes. We have to bring water to drink and to wash. We are suffering.
Honestly, people's situation is very, very, very difficult. We are heading towards a very severe famine. May God protect us so that people do not die of hunger.
As you see, sewage water is everywhere. We live with stray dogs and cats amid the garbage. We survive bombings, but diseases might kill us.
At least two more journalists have been killed in Israeli air raids in Gaza. Mustafa Faraya and Hamza Dahdu died when a missile directly hit their vehicle west of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Hamza was the son of Palestinian journalist Wael Dahdu, who already lost his wife, daughter, the other son and grandson to Israeli air raids. Last month, Wael was wounded in an Israeli raid that also killed his colleague. The latest fatalities bring to 109 the number of journalists killed in Gaza since October 7th. The Palestinians say that the Israeli army deliberately targets the journalists to hide the truth about the situation in Gaza and the regime's atrocities. The World Health Organization says only 13 hospitals are partially operating in Gaza as Israel continues to pound medical centers. A Canadian doctor at the European hospital described the situation as a huge human tragedy. Let's take a listen.
The human tragedy is so huge here. I don't think people have an idea of how tragic this is unless you actually come and see it for it yourself. How much suffering everybody is going through, whether it's the people coming in on a daily basis, almost every hour someone's coming in with an explosive injury or a serious injury. People are losing their legs, their eyes, their lives. And the people, the healthcare workers are working here 24 hours every single day with nothing, with no resources, nothing, no medications, anesthetics, everything is out. So it's just a very horrible time. I came to Gaza for the first time with Rahma and to help out in any way I can because I think the need is obviously very, very big here. And my feeling has been that the doctors and the healthcare workers here are excellent, and they're doing the best job that they can, despite the fact that the system is collapsing. They are doing so much with so little. There's no medications, there's no supplies, there's no instruments, there's no resources, but yet they're still saving lives and doing the best. All the cases that we've seen are all explosive related, and are all because of explosive, whether it's artillery or it's bombs. And so all the injuries are very severe. Many of them are life-threatening. People lose their lives.
Now, fresh insight into the mistreatment and torture of Palestinian inmates in Israeli jails. The Human Rights Group has detailed how the Israeli army and Shin Bet treat Palestinians as non-human animals. The Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor made the revelation in a report built on testimony from newly released Palestinians. It said that prisoners are regularly beaten, stripped naked, subjected to electric shocks, and burned with cigarettes. The rights group says that the prisoners are also made to curse themselves and Palestinian groups. Israel regularly conducts mass abductions in the occupied West Bank, East El Quds, and recently in the Gaza Strip. At least 8,600 Palestinians are currently held in Israeli jails, including more than 3,000 held indefinitely without a charge or trial. Now, Israel keeps committing serious violations of international humanitarian law, including war crimes and its ongoing onslaught on Gaza. Three Palestinian brothers who were abducted by the regime's forces narrate the ordeal that they went through.
They tortured us, poured water on us, and drowned us. After 3 days, they put us in prisons and placed large iron cuffs on us. Then they took us for interrogation. Using water, salty water, torture, they used electricity on us, put out cigarettes on our bodies. He hit me in my ribs. I couldn't move anymore. My hand here is all burnt from the excessive binding. 7 ties tightly on my hand for 3 days. As for sleeping, there was no time for sleep. Prayer was prohibited.
They placed us in an area like a camp, then brought a garbage truck full of metal and filth. They carried us inside the truck. They were beating us, and anyone who raised their voice after the beating was beaten again.
Because my leg was injured, they loaded me onto the truck using a ladder, and I told them I couldn't climb because of my legs. He hit me in the face here and pushed me until the cuffs broke and I fell. Then 4 people beat me. After that, they took us, threw us on the streets for 3 days, naked, smoking, and putting out cigarettes on our backs.
Now, Palestinian resistance fighters have targeted Israeli forces with heavy shelling after they raided Al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza. The retaliatory attacks were launched by Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of Hamas movement. One Israeli armored personnel carrier was destroyed by the resistance fighters. Al-Qassam also killed 8 Israeli soldiers in ambush in Bani Sahela, east of Khan Yunis. The group says it also destroyed 2 Merkava tanks in operations in Al-Baraj refugee camp. Israel says more than 170 of its troopers have been killed in Gaza since the regime began the ground invasion on October 27th. Resistance groups, however, say that the regime is underreporting the casualties. Israel has launched a new air raid on the West Bank city of Jenin, killing at least 7 Palestinians there. Now, Palestinians say the attack was carried out by drone, and that after an Israeli military vehicle was hit by an explosive device in Jenin. One Israeli soldier was killed and 3 others were injured. The Jenin Brigade Resistance Group has released footage showing the moment of the explosion. It says the number of Israeli fatalities is higher than the figure announced by the regime. Israel has a stepped up deadly crackdown against Palestinians in the occupied territory since October 7th. Ever since, hundreds of Palestinians have been killed and more than 4,000 others abducted in the occupied West Bank. Now, moving on, Yemen has pledged to continue to block the passage of all Israeli-owned and bound ships through the Red Sea in response to the regime's genocide in the Gaza Strip.
These developments and the painful developments that are taking place in Palestine led us to take such measures. The Quran has authorized us to defend the oppressed. Every kind of ship linked to the Zionist regime or partially or entirely owned by the regime will not pass through the Red Sea, no matter what the costs, and we will stick with this decision at any cost.
The head of Yemen's Supreme Political Council says that the country will not stop its operations until Israel ends its onslaught and siege of the Gaza Strip. Mahdi al-Mashat said that that's meant for peace. He said that Yemenis are committed to protecting their brothers in Gaza and are ready for all possibilities. He also warned that all options are available to the Yemeni's army. The comment came after the U.S. warned Yemen of consequences if it did not stop the attacks. Yemeni armed forces have launched missile and drone attacks on vessels operated by Israel or heading for its ports, and that in solidarity with the people of Gaza. A group of 30 associations and parties in Kuwait have called on the country's government to join the lawsuit filed by South Africa against Israel at the International Court of Justice. The group issued a statement denouncing international silence on Israeli crimes in Gaza. The signatories said the regime's actions constitute war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity. South Africa's lawsuit says the magnitude of death and destruction in the Gaza Strip meets the definition of genocide in international law. Meanwhile, nearly 100 Chilean lawyers have also filed a case against the Israeli Prime Minister at the International Criminal Court. The lawsuit calls for an arrest warrant against Benjamin Netanyahu and a number of other Israeli officials for committing crimes against humanity, genocide, and war crimes in Gaza. Now, Farah Hashim, our correspondent in Kuwait City, joined us a short while ago with details regarding the measures taken by Kuwaiti civic groups and parliament in support of the Palestinians.
These 30 civic groups that also represent Kuwait University, Kuwait People Against Normalization with Israel, Kuwait Supporting Palestine, they are not working just alone, independently. They are following the recommendations that were signed and approved by the Kuwaiti parliament last month. And since Kuwait is in mourning, nothing has been happening here because everybody is devastated by the death and also by the fact that Kuwait has entered a state of mourning since the beginning of the 7 October attacks and the genocide that has been taking place in Gaza. So I do believe that Kuwait is working on that. And in the first parliament, last month, they set a set of recommendations. And these recommendations include to adopt a list to refer Netanyahu to international court for committing genocide against Palestinians, for committing crimes, for violating the rules and regulations of human rights in the United Nations, and they already adopted them and approved by the previous government currently. And as soon as this government is formed, this is going to be on the top of the agenda in Kuwait.
Now, Esha Krishnaswamy is a podcaster and journalist, and we've asked her if the Israeli regime would be prosecuted for its crimes by the International Court of Justice.
There have been many requests for investigations, and the ICC has not sent a single person into the territories of Palestine to investigate any single war crime. On top of that, if we look at the 2023 budget of the ICC, to investigate Palestinian war crimes, the budget is only $944,000. Well, similarly, to investigate alleged Russian war crimes in Ukraine, the budget is $4.3 million. So what it shows us is that the ICC is basically, again, an arm of U.S. and U.K. to kind of do their biting and investigate what they want to investigate.
Protests against Israeli genocidal war in Gaza are growing bolder in the U.S. The busiest street in the nation's third largest city was shut down for hours right outside the residence of a top Democratic Party senator. Rami Mazari has a report.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has been called the oldest friend in Congress of AIPAC, the influential pro-Zionist lobbying committee. Protesters gathered outside his home to demand that the second highest ranking Democratic senator stop supporting Israel's latest war on Gaza. But then activists grew tired of being ignored. Protesters crossed from Senator Durbin's high-class residence onto historic Lakeshore Drive along Lake Michigan. Traffic is shut down in both directions on the most important road in the city in a rare and powerful example of local political activism. Protesters told angry motorists that the person they should be blaming was Senator Durbin.
Senator Dick Durbin actually represents the biggest Palestinian constituent population in the United States. He has a duty to be on the front lines of calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
When police refused to release one of two activists arrested, protesters refused to move for hours.
This is not a religious issue. It's not a political issue. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's an issue that is affecting everybody in the world, or most people, and everybody wants a resolution. So we hope for a peaceful resolution. That's why we're out here.
The Arab population in the United States is about half of the Jewish population, but Arab influence in American politics and culture is relatively non-existent. For over two decades, open discrimination has been constant, as are hypocritical double standards.
I was in Palestine on October 7th. So I've lived my whole life in America. I lived in Palestine for 4 years, but we came here and I grew up here. I was raised here. But I feel like my identity as an American is shattered anytime something happens. And I see that that my American colleagues and classmates and friends all of a sudden turn a blind eye when it comes to Palestinian life. And it's very disappointing. And it's especially when you come back and you see that your own tax dollars are being put towards this genocide.
Since October 7th, public opinion has shifted massively against Israel, especially among young voters. That may embolden activists to try even more attention-demanding protests against Israel's atrocities and murder in Palestine. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
And that report brings to the end of this newscast from Tehran.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of law.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listener's Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 7th, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listener's Special is a program which is broadcast on Sunday, and this is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, listeners, especially your program, it's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome to this edition of Listeners, especially on this beautiful Sunday, January 7th. And, of course, as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, from Volkan Atasevir from Turkey, from Anand Mohan from India, and from Jari Korhonen from Finland. So, here I do send my appreciations to Volkan, Anand, and Jari for sending these reception reports to us. And as you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us at IRIB English Radio because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving electronic QSL card from us. So let's see who has sent us email from around the world. Here we've received an email from Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil, one of our old and regular listeners. Volkan Atasevir from Turkey has sent us a piece of email. From the United States, we've received an email from Bill McDavid. And from India, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, our old and regular listeners. Please stay with us. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So, Reginaldo Anunciaso, one of our old and regular listeners from Brazil, has sent us a piece of email, so let's see what he says. A happy new year 2024, and thank you for your sweet messages. I should say that I'm so happy these days, as I'm going to spend the holiday with my family and friends. Here in Brazil, Christmas is a little different because we are in the southern hemisphere and it's actually summer in Brazil. Thank you again, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, and many thanks for writing to us, Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil. Happy New Year 2024 to you, and of course, all our listeners around the world. We hope that 2024 be filled with joy, peace, and good tidings to you. On the New Year 2024, we wish that peace prevails all over the world. And Reginaldo, as you said, as Brazil is located in southern hemisphere, there is a difference in the seasons. And so you are experiencing summer and very hot days in your country, Reginaldo, in Brazil, just like Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and other countries which are located in southern hemisphere. And it's interesting. We wish you all the best, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email, Reginaldo. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And from Turkey, we've received an email from Volkan Atasevir. Volkan says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector. I'm also an amateur radio operator and shortwave listener. These are some of my hobbies. Radio communication and shortwave radio also contribute to my professional knowledge. I want QSL card from your radio station." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Volkan Atasevir from Turkey, and many thanks for writing to us. Thank you for letting us know what you think about how we broadcast the signals of IRIB English Radio, as you said you're interested in shortwave, which is mostly welcomed by our listeners. So you are a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector, and that's good. Thank you for sharing your personal information with us and our great listeners around the world. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you luck, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, our old and regular listener, has sent us a detailed piece of email. So let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, greetings. First of all, I would like to wish you and all the wonderful members at IRIB English Radio and their families my heartiest season's greetings for the New Year festivities. May 2024 be full of hope, peace, aspirations, good health, and happiness for all those celebrating. I'm happy to report on your shortwave broadcast. Reception quality on the 31-meter band was good with strong signal strength. Here are some details of the programs I listened to and my comments. The news gave extensive coverage of Israeli forces, atrocities, and untold human miseries of the innocent Palestinian people, mostly children and women, in refugee camps in Rafah and other towns. Though loss of Israeli soldiers were reported, but in contrast, some 16,000 Palestinians have been mercilessly murdered till date. This unprecedented genocide has been condemned by right-thinking, freedom-seeking people of the world. The Iranian president has praised the UN Secretary General's initiative to invoke Article 99, which deals with peace and security. This humanitarian tragedy, where a rampant hunger and lack of medical services are increasing the suffering of the people in the Gaza Strip. I pray and hope that hostilities are immediately stopped and peace ensured before a greater human catastrophe occurs. Back to Reality is also an attractive program. An interesting interview was conducted with two students of Indian and Pakistani origin. The hot topic of collectiveness versus individualism in family values gave an important lesson to listeners. Individual tendencies in the United States is a psychological problem which leads to a decadent society with broken homes, suicide, and taking of drugs. Whereas collectiveness, as professed in Iran and other Eastern cultures, seeks advice of elders in matters of good living, this is the secret of a happy, healthy, and contented family where youngsters grow up to be responsible citizens of society. I am submitting the report for your kind verification. I would be pleased to receive a printed QSL card if my report is found to be in order. I would also be happy to receive some promotional material and Iranian postage stamps if available. Wishing IRIB English Service team good health and happiness in the upcoming. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty in India, and many thanks for writing such a detailed email. And as we always say, we welcome your views about our programs. We like to know which program or programs you like the best. So Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, many thanks for telling us your views about our programs. As you said, actually, you gave us the information about the piece of news. You heard about what is happening in the Gaza Strip and actually the developments in Palestine. And you mentioned the program Back to Reality, which you described it as an attractive program, and that's good to hear that. So, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We also hope that you have a very good 2024 year. But I have to mention that we Iranians, because Iran is a majority Muslim country, we don't celebrate our new year in Christian way. I mean, we celebrate our new year on Nowruz, which is the beginning of spring. So 2024 is not celebrated in Iran, but we have a minority, Christian minority in Iran, which celebrate 2024. But anyway, thank you for your greetings and your congratulation message. But we hope that our listeners, our Christian listeners and our international listeners around the world, a 2024 full of joy, peace, aspirations, good health and happiness. Anyway, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. After a short break, I will be back with you. So here we have an email from Bill McDavitt, our old and regular listener from the United States. Bill says, "Dear staff, unfortunately, we are not able to receive any of your English language broadcasts. Your signals are simply not being observed here in the United States. Your transmission engineers are not beaming your signals to North America. So obviously, you are not targeting North America, and as a result, it is unlikely we would be able to receive your broadcast. I do wish you would target North America as well so we could hear your programs. Many still enjoy shortwave radio rather than internet or satellite. I hope this helps and please feel free to contact me. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Bill McDavitt from the United States. Appreciations to you for this email. And as the shortwave broadcast of IRIB English Radio is disconnected in the regions like North America, the United States, so you can refer to our website and via internet or satellite, you can listen to IRIB English Radio broadcast. Anyway, please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Bill McDavitt from the United States, many thanks for writing to us. We wish you all the best. And time tells us that we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners Special. We had a good time being together. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye to you, I do send my warmest appreciations and gratitude to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports, as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Volkan Atasevir from Turkey, Anand Mohan from India, Jari Korhonen from Finland, Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil, also Bill McDavitt from the United States, and Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners a Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهودين استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran. Full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
I would like to tonight, you know, present to you a conceptual ground, first of all, about this whole idea of virtues of human beings, fadaila insani, and then relate that to the personality of Bibi Fatima Zahra. Just to, first of all, lay down the conceptual ground of my discussion, I would like to go to the ayat from Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33, Ayat 35. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fada'il, the virtues of human beings, and divided these 10 qualities within five layers. Then we come to the fourth layer, and that is what I call your defense team. You're not playing a game here, but you know, you need some people to be on the defense side of the issues. You have your iman, you know, Islam and iman. You have your sidq and sabr and khushu, but then you will be attacked from different sides. So now we have three, you know, qualities which work as a defensive, you know, defense mechanism. One is wal mutasaddiqin wal mutasaddiqat, والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات. The first one has to do with sadaqah, giving charity. And we are not talking about the wajib dues. We are talking about what you give from your own. Not from Mali Imam. Huh? That is Mali Imam. That's not even mine anyway. You know, we are talking about sadaqah, charity that you give from your own property. And this is where we to realize that. And then sawm, fasting. And then we talk about hifz furuj, which means, I'm just simplifying it because we're an audience of children and adults also, you know, maintaining modesty. And this is where we have three challenges all the time. One is the issue of, you know, when you give charity, you're actually dealing with your sense of greed for wealth. You know, when you're giving, Shaitan says, why are you doing this? This is yours. It's your hard work. But when you give in charity, you're actually now suppressing your greed for wealth. You will use it, but also share with others. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, you know, in your wealth there is a share for those who are, you know, deprived and beggars. And then sawm, fasting. What are you doing in the month of Ramadan? This is actually the training to learn how to control the desire of food and drink. And then we come to the issue of hifz furuj, which is the issue of modesty. And this is where the hijab comes in, the hijab of eyes, the hijab of dress, the hijab of interaction with one another. And so this is where we have, you know, three kinds of challenges which can be handled by sadaqah and fasting and maintaining modesty. Sadaqah by itself is a good virtue, but as I said, it also trains an individual to control the greed and excessive love for wealth. It is in us. But when you give in charity, you know, this is where you come to realize, okay, I am not the slave of my wealth. Rather, I am the master of my wealth. I control it. It doesn't control me. And when it comes to Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, when it comes to charity, we have so many examples. The beautiful example of this, the blessed necklace. I'm sure you heard it many times, but I'll just go through it very fast. A traveler comes to Rasulullah, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm hungry. I don't have decent clothes to go back to my town, and I don't have the means even to travel back. Rasulullah asked his wives, is there any food home? There is nothing. They were going through difficulties themselves. Amazingly, Rasulullah knows this condition of Ali and Fatima, yet he says, go to the door of Fatima. One of the companions took this person. Fatima comes behind the door and says, who is it? And he gives his story. Fatima brought this hide of the camel, which was used as a bedding for Hassan and Hussein. And she said, I don't really have food. There's nothing for us to eat ourselves. Take this. It might help you. And he said, I want food. I don't want this. So Fatima took out the necklace, which was gifted to her by the daughter of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada. She gave that necklace, says, go sell this and fulfill your needs. He goes back to Masjid al-Nabi. He told the Prophet, this is what I got. But I want food and clothing and, you know, means to go back home. So Rasulullah said, is anywhere there who will buy this? Ammar stood up, made a deal with this person, bought the necklace, took him home, fed him, gave him new clothes, gave him a camel. He said, go Khuda Hafiz. Then Ammar put that necklace in a handkerchief. You know, put perfume on it, closed it, called a slave that he had, and he called this slave and said, go and give this to Rasulullah and tell him, this is my hadiah to him, and you also are a hadiah and a gift to him. You are free. Means you're no more my slave. He goes to Rasulullah and says, you know, Ammar has sent me with his necklace and me. He says, but this was not mine anyway, so you go to Fatima. This necklace and you belong to Fatima. And Fatima was surprised. She took the necklace and she said to this slave, go, you are free in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slave started laughing. And me, Fatima, says, what happened? He says, I'm laughing at this necklace. It fed a traveler, provided clothing for him, transportation back to his home, released a free, you know, a slave from his slavery, and it came back to the owner of the necklace. This is the barakat of charity. Number two is fasting, as-sa'imin was-sa'imat. You know, by itself, it's a good, you know, deed. There is ajr sawab, but it's also a training to control our desire for food and drink. When it comes to the example of Fatima Zahra, you can actually combine the sadaqah and fasting together. Look at surah number 76, known as Surah Al-Dahr, or Surah Al-Insan. Major part of that surah is the story of Fatima and her family. When they fasted for 3 days, and they gave their bread at the time of iftar in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing iftar only with water and salt, nothing else. And this was so much liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentions that in Surah Al-Dahr. And he actually put words to their intentions. Ahlul Bayt, when they gave the bread away the first, second, and third day, they didn't say anything to these people, oh, we are giving it for Allah and we don't want any thanks for it. No, you just give. Intention is in your heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the intentions of those who are giving, puts that in words. That part became ayat of Surah Insan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, verbalizing their niyat, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That we are actually feeding you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want any reward or even thanks from you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many, many ayat, one after another, describes the reward that he has reserved for Fatima and her family for these 3 days of fasting and charity. At the end, Allah says, إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. This you have done, these items that I mentioned of Jannah are reward for you, and your hard work is being, you know, appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third quality there, on that fourth level, is basically الحافظين فروجهم والحافظات, exercising modesty. Especially when it comes to the issue of maintaining family life. And in this, we can say that, you know, Fatima Zahra, she's actually the symbol of isma and infallibility. The ayat of Tathir, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُضْهِبَ عَنْكُمَ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Which covers the Panjatan, as we call them, Ahl Kisa. But who is the central figure in that ayat of Tathir? When the Malaika asked Rasulullah, who are these under this Kisa? He doesn't say Rasul and his daughter and son-in-law and grandsons. He says it's Fatima, her father, her husband, and her sons.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Matin. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. Deep, sincere faith, strong, firm determination, the intelligence of the Iranian youth, the ability of military and non-military elements to use initiative and innovation, and the ability to overcome global aggressors were the things that were revealed and seen about our nation and our soldiers during the Sacred Defense. Another achievement of the sacred defense was that it expanded our frontiers. I am not speaking of geographical borders. We did not seek to expand our geographical borders, neither at that time nor now. We are not seeking to expand our geographical borders. The sacred defense expanded our other frontiers, such as the frontier of resistance. This is an example. Today, the concept of resistance and the element of resistance is an established element. There's resistance in Palestine. There is resistance in West Asia. And there is resistance in various other countries. There is resistance in Iraq. There is resistance in Iran and in various places.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The sacred defense raised and promoted the idea of resistance around the world. It established resistance in many parts of the world. We ourselves may find it hard to believe that the actions of the Iranian nation have had such an impact in distant countries. But they have had such an impact. We have information about this. I do not wish to name the countries. A large number of the Iranian nation's activities have served as a model for many people in the East, in Asia, in Africa, and also in Latin America. This is what expanding frontiers means. Our intellectual and cognitive borders have expanded. This is a nation's greatest success to be able to expand its own culture, understanding, knowledge, and wishes in the world. This mainly took place by way of the sacred defense. The 8 years of the sacred defense worked miracles in this aspect. It spread the culture of self-reliance. Now, when we speak about resistance, we want to see whom this resistance is standing against.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.